For those who do not know who I am, my name is Josh. I'm the children's and family pastor here. And I look forward to being able to be with you guys this morning. So, I know last week Gary asked a question and had zero response to it of people who went to the Lights Over Louisville. So I'm going to ask a similar question just to see what type of response I get. So yesterday was an important day for Kentucky. Like, there was just little race that went on yesterday. So who here watched the Kentucky Derby yesterday? Just raise your hand. All right, I just wanted to be noted, I've beat Gary in crowd response. All right, just. So yesterday was one of the famous days in Kentucky of the Kentucky Derby. It's a race that's gone on for, a really long time. And I watched Kentucky Derby. I sat in my home and watched it. My family's out in Missouri right now, and so what else do I do when it's just be by myself but watch horse racing, I guess. Now, I will be very honest. I never watched a Kentucky Derby, nor did I even know when the Kentucky Derby was going on until I moved to Kentucky. And it really wasn't until I moved here. Even when I lived in Somerset, it wasn't as big of a deal as it is here, which makes sense because we're just literally right down the road from it. But today we're going to be looking at how our Christian life is a race, and the race that we should live. The title of today's message is, "And the Race is On," you know, with horse racing because Kentucky Derby, you know. And we're going to be in Hebrews 12 today. Hebrews 12. And let's just think about the Kentucky Derby for a second. There's a lot that goes into the race. It's not like they just show up the day of and be like, all right, this horse has never raced before, has had no training, no experience, just going to show up and race. No, there's practice, there's conditioning, that all goes into just a almost 2-minute race. Like all this effort into just 2 minutes. And we start looking at the history of the Kentucky Derby, and I didn't realize until watching the race yesterday that it's been 50 years since Secretariat and just the amazing horse that he was, you know, set time records that still have yet to be beat, which is an amazing thing. Because we look at sports, how records are being broken all the time now just because of advances in technology and stuff like that. But when it comes to horse racing, it's just horse racing. But like I said, we're going to be looking at Hebrews 12 today and seeing how we run this race. And how our race is so much more important than a horse race. Because when we get down to it, the Kentucky Derby is just a horse race. You know. So if you guys will join me in Hebrews 12, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. So Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the same, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So we look at this little passage here, and I realize it's just two verses, but man, these two verses pack a lot to it. We see here that we are in this race. Now, as all good races go, you have to qualify for a race. Once again, with the Kentucky Derby yesterday, they just didn't show up. They had to qualify for it. With the Christian life, we have to qualify to it too. Like, we can't just jump into this race. And to qualify for the race that is the Christian life is we need to know who Jesus is. We need to have believed in Jesus. We call it being saved, is the church term for it. But basically, we come to God and we realize that we are broken, that we are sinners, that there is no good inside of us. And what good is inside of us is nothing, that we are sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, sin is anything that we think, say, or do that goes against God's word. Not only things that we shouldn't be doing, but it's also those things that we don't do that we know we should be doing. You know, those commands in the Bible when God says to go out and love our neighbors and to spread the light of the gospel and to be serving and these list of things that we should be doing. And when we don't do that, that's also sin. And we see that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. And there's nothing we can do to get rid of our sin. Like, if it was something we could do, we could boast in it. There's nothing we can do. Like, coming here and sitting in church is not a way to be saved. Doing enough good deeds does not counter out our bad deeds. We cannot give enough, pray enough. We cannot be a good enough person to have our sins forgiven. The only way we can have our sins forgiven is by Jesus. The fact that Jesus was God's perfect Son who came down from heaven, who never sinned, never had a bad thought, never did anything bad, never spoke anything bad, lived a perfect life and willingly died for us. Not just died, but came back to life so that we can have our sins forgiven. We just celebrated that during Easter. And by believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and came back to life and asking Him to forgive us of our sins and then putting Him in charge of our life, then we can be saved. And that's how we qualify for this race. So, if you're here and you've never believed in Jesus, you will have an opportunity today to do that, to be able to jump into this race. But let's dive into our passage. So starting off with the first word, therefore. I mean, that's a very important word right there. I know it's very cliche, but whenever you see the word therefore, you need to see what it is there for, you know. And it points back. Every time we see the word therefore, it's pointing back to something. And this chance is pointing back to chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is probably one of the most famous passages out of Hebrews because we call it the Hall of Faith. It's just stories of people who have lived an amazing life, and we see the faith that they had in God. Not faith in themselves, not faith in their circumstances, but faith in God. I mean, even Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it people of old received their condemnation. We see faith, and our Christian life is based on faith. To my knowledge, none of you here in this room were old enough to see Jesus walking around on earth. I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel very certain in that statement right there. If you did, then man, you look good for your age. But none of us have ever seen Jesus like walk around this earth. We've seen the evidence of God working in our lives. We've seen the evidence of God doing miracles. But none of us have laid face-to-face eyes on Jesus. We have faith. We have faith that the Bible is true. We have faith that God did what He said He did. We have faith in our salvation. And faith is not something that's easily seen, but it's something that we rely on all the time. All of you, once again, I want to make a statement here that might be right or wrong. None of you tested the chair that you sat in this morning, right? You guys came in and you just sat in your chair without being like, all right, let me make sure this chair is going to hold me up. Let me look underneath it, make sure all the screws are in. Like, you just had faith that the chair would hold you up. Our faith in God is so much more than that. And He sustains us, that He's there for us. And Hebrews 11 is all about that faith. We see Abel, they had faith that the Lord was going to accept his offering. We see Noah, they had faith that he was going to build this boat for rain that had never, ever happened in his life. We see the faith of Abram and willing to sacrifice his kid, that God would provide a way. We can see stories after stories of faith in that chapter. And that's what our whole Christian race, our Christian life is bound upon, is this faith that we have in God. We can look at chapter 11 and we have that assurance, that encouragement from it. And we see in these stories of faith that it's not about their own things. It's the faith they have in God. And even through this faith, it's not like they didn't suffer. Like, I'm sure Noah suffered when he was building a boat and people were like, Noah, you're crazy. Like, it's going to rain? Yeah, right. Like, God's going to flood the world? Yeah, right. Or even Abraham, when he left and was like, all right, I'm just going to start traveling and God will tell me when to stop. Like, I know when I left North Carolina to move to Missouri, I had some people that are like, you're doing what? And even when I moved from Missouri to Kentucky, people were like, you're doing what? Why are you doing that? It's because it's what God called me to do. And so, when we have faith, it's not like it's going to be easy. It's still a difficult road. The race is hard. So we have that comfort. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now notice here that word we. Now we're not exactly sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. There's plenty of guesses out there that was Paul or Luke or somebody else. But the writer of Hebrews includes himself in this. He is actively running the race. He is being encouraged. Like, it's not that the writers of Scripture were like, all right, this is just for you guys, and we're going to watch you guys and not be a partaker in this. No, that's the great thing about the Bible, is that the writer of each of these books were just normal people like us. Now, yes, we put them on a pedestal because we're like, man, they did some amazing things. They wrote scripture. But they were just people that God called to do his work. We take encouragement in that. God calls us to do his work. Like, it takes all of us. Now, today you've probably noticed that Gary's not here and Brandon's not here. They're on a trip right now for the church. So you look at it, it's me, Austin, and William, as far as pastors that have been here for the weekend. And there's no way the three of us could do everything on our own. Even when there's five of us, we still can't do it all on our own. It requires all of us to do our part. The writer of the scriptures, they did their part. And we have the evidence of it. When we do our part, there's evidence of it also. Not saying that we get the right scripture, because that's not what we're called to do, but we see the lives that are changed. We see people who come to know Lord, come to know God and grow deeper in his faith, get deeper in their faith and knowledge of him. And we get to be a part of that in whatever way we serve. Like, it's not always about being up front and center. Sometimes it just takes people to work and do everything. Like right now, there's a group of people in the nursery doing their job. They're not seen. In fact, they're behind locked doors so that people just can't walk in there and see them. But they, like, we would not be able to do what we do without them. There's people who are greeters or take care of the coffee or just take care of the grounds and look out for the church. And it requires all of us to do our part. So we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, which means we're all around it. It's the idea of, like, traveling through the mountains and you just start going through a cloud. Like, it's weird when I go home to North Carolina, sometimes I'll go through the mountains in North Carolina and you just start driving up and you're like, all right, we're going to go through a cloud. Like, it's just a very unreal thing to be like, all right, I am inside a cloud. Like, we see them all the time up in the sky, but when you actually go through it, it's like, we are in this cloud. Or like when you're traveling in an airplane and you travel through a cloud, you just look out your window, it's like, all right, there's a cloud and we are going through this. But it's this idea that when we are running our race, we are surrounded by this group of witnesses that are cheering us on. So let's talk about these witnesses. So these witnesses, it's the idea of these people who have gone before us that we can look to and get encouragement from. Like, some of us, we think, well, they're looking down from heaven encouraging us on. That's not the truth. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture where people look down from heaven and be like, all right, I'm going to watch them. No, they're worshiping God. They're actively partaking in the worship of God in heaven. But we can take encouragement from them. They're still witnesses because we can see the life that they lived and how they loved God and they lived for God, and we can take encouragement from that. That's why in chapter 11 we see these people in the Old Testament who had this faith, and we can take encouragement from that. One of the greatest witnesses I have in my life was my grandma. She was a godly woman. She was an amazing woman. She had an integral part in me coming to know God. I mean, we lived right beside my grandma. Like, from fourth grade on, I lived right beside my grandma. And we'd go down there and we'd eat dinner. And whenever we'd go down there, I'd see her Bible beside on her side table where she's been studying it, or her daily bread that she would be reading from. And it just gave me encouragement to be like, man, she is somebody that's actually living it out. And she would talk about God and she would share God. And it was an encouragement to me as after I come to know the Lord, being like, that's just encouragement. That's a great example of what it means to live for God, to seek God. It's the idea of the crowd at a sporting event. When we think back to the Kentucky Derby yesterday, the crowd was loud as the horses were racing. You know, it gave them encouragement. I mean, I love watching sporting events. I love going to a live sporting event and just being able to cheer it on. And it's amazing how we can be in a crowd, and when we're in a crowded sporting event, there's just something that happens that sometimes we do not act the way we would normally act, right? Like, sometimes we might start yelling at refs and being like, well, that's not normally who I am. Maybe it is to a degree, but not to that extreme. Like, we get into a crowd and we just get this herd mentality about it, to where we're like, all right, we're going to do what the crowd does. But being somebody on the field, hearing the crowd cheering you on, is just a great encouragement. And that's what these people who are living life with us are for. We are here to encourage one another. We are here to be a witness for each other. As we are running our race, there's other people running the race, and we should be encouraging them and cheering them on. We need to give hope. Paul writes about this in 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Our Christian life is not to be one of isolation. Like, there's no lone wolf Christian. We are not made to go through this alone. As Jason was talking about, we are a family. Like, our family looks out for each other. Our family is here for each other. Through hard times, through good times, family is there. And so we need to be encouraging one another, helping out each other. And then we can even look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11:1. "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." That's a bold statement right there. Like, this is more of a self-reflection question. I don't want to see hands up for this one. But how many of you feel comfortable being like, looking at other Christians, be like, "Hey, imitate me as I am imitating Christ"? Because that's what Paul did. Now, is Paul saying he's got it all figured out? No. Like, we look at Paul's life, and Paul did not have it all figured out, but he still was a godly man who was living for God. And that's what we should be striving to, because whether we realize it or not, there's people who watch us. There's a children's building up front that is full of kids right now that watch you. Like, it's just the fact of the matter. They look up to you. They look up to the youth that are in here. They look up to you. They want to imitate who you are. That's one of the things that we've been talking with Ellie a lot about. Ada, is that Ada wants to be her sister. She wants to imitate her. And that's a lot of pressure. And it's the truth, though. As Christians, there are people who look up to us, who see how we live life. And we are encouragement to them. And so whether we realize it or not, we are living out this statement: imitate me as I imitate Christ. And it's something we need to take a hold of. Be like, all right, how am I doing in imitating Christ? Because we can always be doing more. So we were surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and now we start getting into the race. And with every good race, there's preparation for it. And so we see the first step of preparation here. It's, let us also lay aside every weight. So when we go into a race, you know, I am not a runner. I don't claim to be a runner. I don't even play a runner on the weekends. I hate running. Now, I'm sure Daniel could probably talk more to this. So, Daniel, I'm going to ask you a few questions. You didn't know you were going to be part of the sermon today, did you? Nope. It's all right. We used to do this in children's church all the time. So just think about, we're back at children's church, right? When you run, do you put a lot of weight on you? No, right? Because that wouldn't make sense, right? Now, when you're practicing, do you practice with weights when you run? No, once again, because that wouldn't make a lot of sense. Thank you, Daniel. That's all I wanted you for. So when we run, now that's talking to a runner right there, we don't weigh ourselves down. Because that doesn't make sense. Like, I have my little water bottle right here, and now I will walk. I will go to the church and walk around the track and stuff like that. And when I'm walking, I don't even carry my water bottle with me, because it's a heavy, like, it's not super heavy. Like, I could carry it with me easily, but I don't want the extra weight there with me. Like, it would slow me down. Now, I'm not running a race or anything like that, but if I was running a race, we wouldn't want any extra weight. That's why when it comes to the Kentucky Derby, I'm not a jockey, because I'm way too much to be a jockey, right? Like, that horse would be like, all right, hold up. Let's rethink this for a second. We want to be as light as possible. And when it comes to running our Christian life, we need to lay aside these weights, these things that can slow us down. I mean, in studying for this and reading through this passage, they even made the comment, now, I don't recommend this, Daniel, I do not recommend this, that in the biblical times, back in ancient Greece and stuff like that, when they ran races, they would literally take everything off to run the race. So, just put that out there. Like, they didn't want any extra weight at all. But we have weights that hold us down. In our Christian life, we have weights that hold us down. And here's just some of these things that hold us down. The first thing is burdens. Man, we get weighed down by burdens. Burdens can hold us back. Burdens can just make us feel like we are in it. Those heavy loads, those things that grieve us. Like, so many times we talk, it's like, I just have a heavy heart right now. And it's hard to run the race with a heavy heart. We have these burdens. And so we need to cast these burdens off. And so how do we do this? We give it to God. Psalm 55:22, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Like, we give our burdens to God. Now, it's important that when we start giving these things to God, that we don't take them back. Because so many times we can put something away and give it to God and be like, all right, God, you're not doing it well enough. I'm going to take it back. Like, we need to give it to God and then just let it go. Another thing that weighs us down is worries. Worry is a huge part of life. Like, there are some of us who worry a lot more than others, but I think we all worry in some way, shape, or fashion. I used to be somebody who would say, well, I don't really worry a lot, until I got married and then had kids. And then it's just like, I worry all the time. And I know that my family is protected. Like I said, right now, they're over in Missouri. And I'm like, I worry because I'm like, if something happens, I cannot get there quick enough. Now, I know God's protecting them. I know God's looking out for them. I know that there's people in Missouri who would drop anything they could do to help out my family. But still a worry. And so worries can prevent us from fully trusting in God, because we start living in that worry. And we start thinking the worst things that can happen. And we just need to trust God that he's got it. So how do we cast off our worries? We pray about them. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we pray about them. And we start thanking God for all that he's done for us. The best way to combat worries is to thank God for what he's given us. So we pray about them. We leave them with the Lord. And we move on. Another worry, or another weight that we might have, is grudges. Man, sometimes we like to just hold a grudge. And sometimes we even forget why we're holding a grudge. Like, sometimes we're just like, well, I know I don't like that person, but I cannot remember why, but I just know I don't like that person. Or maybe it's like, well, my friend doesn't like that person, and because I'm a good friend, I'm not going to like that person either. Like, I don't even know why they're upset at him, but we're friends. And so we can hold these grudges. And they distract us from being able to reach the world for Jesus. Because heaven forbid we take a grudge so far that we're like, well, I don't like that person, and they don't deserve the gospel. I'd rather them go to hell than know the good news of Jesus. Because that's what we could do. It's hate. And so we have a grudge with somebody. We need to be praying once again to God and just forgive them. As God has forgiven us, we forgive them. Whether they ask for it or not, or they even acknowledge that we have forgiven them, we forgive them and we move on. We don't need to live in grudges. We don't need to stay there because it's not good for us. We pray for them and move on. Something Gary has said many of times, we should be praying for those people that might hate us or might despise us, because that's, and truly praying for them. And if we're praying for somebody, it's hard for us to hold a grudge against them. And then the last way we're talking about this morning is distractions. Man, we can get distracted. Like, I get distracted easily sometimes. And so this world has tons of distractions around us. And so we combat this by focusing on God, focusing on what's important. Once again, the race yesterday, it was awesome. Just a fun, but at the end of it, it's just a race. Is it important in the grand scheme of things? Absolutely not. Like, I think I heard at one point, and I don't know what the final numbers were, but at one point in time I heard yesterday that there was $245 million already betted on the Kentucky Derby. And I'm like, you could take that money and do so much more better things in this world than betting on a horse race. Like, there's a lot of people that you could feed, or a lot of good that could be done with that money. But we can get distracted, and so we need to focus on what's important, on taking the gospel, living for God, and helping other people come to know him. And then we see the next thing that clings to us that we need to cast off, says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." Man, sin. It's the one word, the little word that we don't really like talking about. Sin. And it clings closely to us. Like it chokes us out. Like sin is not this beautiful thing that we're like, "Oh, here's my little sin and it's so nice." No, sin brings death. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." I mean, sin brings death. And it chokes us out and it prevents us from being able to run our race. In the summer of 1996, there was a problem that was going on through several of the horses in Kentucky. They had developed this foul nasal odor and bloody noses, and followed by infections in their nostrils. And so when the veterinarian started examining the horses, they had found these egg-shaped sponges that had been shoved up their noses. And they don't know where the sponges came from, so they started doing a full investigation into it, and come to find out there was somebody that was trying to tamper with horse races by taking the front runners out and making the horses be sick to where they couldn't breathe to be able to run. That's what sin does to us. It chokes us out. Like when sin is clinging so closely to us, it makes it to where we cannot get a full breath of the Holy Spirit to be able to live for God. And that's why it's important that we take these sins and we cast them off. That sin should not be a part of who we are, because it prevents us from being able to fully live for God the way we should. So how do we cast off sins as a believer? Well, first we confess it. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When we bring sin to light, it helps us to fight it. It's hard to fight in the dark. Right, there's been plenty of times where I've tried walking in this room in the dark, and it's hard to do it because I can't see what's going on. There's been times where over in the fellowship hall, building B, when I know the room is completely empty and I turn off the lights to walk out to the other room, I am just paralyzed in darkness because I'm like, I know there's nothing here, but my brain is telling me I'm going to trip into something because it's dark. But as soon as I bring out a little light, I'm good to go. If we try to fight our sins in the dark, it cannot be done. Like, we need to bring it out to light. Now, does that mean that we come up here on stage and tell everybody what our sins are and proclaim it to the world? No. But we need to find those people that we can help hold us accountable, those other brothers and sisters in Christ that we can come to be like, "Hey, I need help in this. Can you help me with this?" And bring it to light. We confess it. And then we repent of it. Timothy Keller had this quote, "Repentance is not a once-for-all event. It's a continuous turning away from sin and turning towards God." That's what repentance is. It's turning away from our sin and turning towards God. And so when we see that we're struggling with sin, we turn away from it and we focus on God. And then stop doing it. Like, I feel like it's pretty easy, but I feel like sometimes we're just like, "Well, I can't stop." Yes, God gives us power through Him to be able to stop sin. We just need to be connecting with God. And so now that we've prepared for the race by casting off these distractions, this weight, and casting off sin, we're able to run the race. It says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." We run this race. The Christian life is a race that we run. It's not something that we just idly walk through. It's not something that we stop and talk to and we just let, no, we are running a race. Once again, I won't pick on Daniel for a little bit just because I know he's a runner in here. Daniel's running a race and he's going to try to win it. It's not like he's going to stop halfway through and have a conversation with somebody. No, he's going to run the race. He's not going to be distracted by the things around him. He's going to run it. In our Christian life, we need to run the race and actively be doing it, moving forward. Always moving forward and with endurance, or I might say perseverance or patience. Patience is a hard thing. Running a race with endurance is a hard thing, but it's worth it. It's worth it when you finish it. I am not a very patient person. That's something me and God have worked on a lot, where I've been more patient than what I used to be. But I'm not a very patient person. But there's things in life that you have to have patience in order to do it. And the past 4 years of our my life and Tammy's life and our family's life has been a race of endurance. It's something that some of you guys are very familiar with, and some of you might not be, but you know, we have Ada, our little church baby that a lot of you guys have had a very active part in helping be in contact with. Now, for those who do not know, she entered into our house when she was 3 days old. We had 24 hours notice. She came into our home in 3 days. Tammy was out one Sunday with her and then came back and had different people offering, hey, let me hold her because she was too young to go to the nursery. Nicole was one of them. I remember that she came up to us like, I'm going to take Ada. We're like, okay, awesome. Thanks for that, you know. And so it's been a race of endurance through her because it's been working through the system. And so our race of endurance has finally come to somewhat of an end that this past Wednesday we're finally able to adopt her and bring her into our family. Thank you. And it's been a hard race. There's definitely been times where we've been frustrated with the system and been aggravated and been like, why is this taking so long? But we continue to run the race. And that's just a small example of what our Christian life is like. We run this race. And we have to have patience through it because things can get hard, things can get difficult, and sometimes we just want to be like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. And it's part of us being human is we get so much that we're like, I can't handle this anymore, I'm done. But we continue to run. When we get tired, we trust in God. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So when we get tired, we keep going. When we hurt, we keep going. When we are distance running and we get tired, we have to keep going. When we come into obstacles, we keep going. And when we fall down, we get up and we keep going. We run this race no matter what's going on. And we run the race that's set before us. We don't get to determine our race. Once again, we'll pick on Daniel just a little bit. Daniel's going to be like, I'm not coming anymore when Josh is preaching. Like, I'm just going to sit in the balcony where he can't see me, you know. So, Daniel, when you run a race, do you get to set your own trail, like your own path, your own course? When you run a race, do you get to set your own course? No, you have to run the course that's set before you, right? When we run our Christian race, we run the course that's set before us. We don't get a say in our course. Our course might be on flat ground and be easy. Our course might be through mountainous terrains. It might be curvy. It might be going through the wilderness. We do not get to pick our own course. We have to run the course that God has given us. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And on your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. We run the course that God has set before us. And when we get distracted and start going off on our own course, we are not synced up with God. And so we set the course that's set before us. And it's something we do daily, if not hourly or minutely, that we need to make sure we are on this course running for God. And then we have the best example that we can have here as we move into verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, or right hand of the throne of God. So we look to Jesus. Jesus should be our focus. Like as we are running our race, we are looking at Jesus. The best example we have is the horse blinders. You know, when the horses are running, they have their blinders on there, the focus on the end. That's us with our life with Christ. We should be so focused on Jesus, that's all that we can focus on. Because we can get distracted by things going on around us. We can get distracted by the other runners or by the crowd, even though they're cheering us on, we can get distracted by them. We can start looking back and seeing where we've come from and get distracted by our past. Or maybe we've just been so heavy and feel so much shame that we just start looking down. No, we need to be focusing on Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. He completed his race. He's the best example that we have of somebody who did it in perfection. And so that's who we should be focusing on. Because without him, we have nothing. And so we should be focusing on him and keep our attention on Jesus as he follows us, or as he leads us, as we follow him. Because there will be tons of distractions. When we start living for God, there'll be all types of distractions. Satan will throw all types of distractions up to try to distract us, like right now. Like, distractions, right? Because there's part of my brain that's like, all right, there's something wrong with the AV and I need to fix this. But no, I trust my team up there. They got this. You guys got this. But we can be distracted. We need to focus on what God is doing and seek him and follow him. Because he endured the cross. He went through shame, and now he is seated on the right hand of God. Eventually, our race will come to an end. Like, we're only on this world for so long. And our race will come to an end. We were across the finish line. Now, we're not trying to be first. Let me just make that very clear. Like, we talk about a race, and part of me is just, I'm a very competitive person. It's like, I've got to win. I got to be first. Like, I feel bad for my kids because I don't let them win anything. They earn it, you know. But when it comes to our Christian life, it's not about us being first. It's about us following Jesus and living for him and helping the world come to know him. And so while we are running this race, we should have joy. Now, let me make it very clear. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a fleeting feeling that's just here for a little bit and gone. Like, we get a cake, piece of cake, that brings me happiness. When the cake is gone, it's like, all right, well, my happiness is gone. But joy comes from God. It's everlasting. Even when things get hard, there's still joy. And so we need to be seeking God for that joy. And so as we start wrapping up in the sermon, there's really two questions to ask here. The first question is, are you in the race? Do you know God? Have you believed in Jesus? Are you in the race? If not, then we will give you the opportunity here in just a little bit to come to know God. The next one is, are you prepared for the race? How are you running the race? Have you cast off the distractions of this world? Have you cast off the sin that may be clinging so closely to you? And are you focused on God? How are you running? Our key is to keep our eyes on Jesus. So I'm going to invite the praise team to come back up here. And as we start moving into this time of invitation, those questions are out there for you. Are you in the race? Do you know Jesus? If not, we will have counselors around this room that you can go talk to that will be willing to share with you how to come to know Jesus. And then maybe you're in the race and you just need to start casting off these distractions from the world, or maybe casting off the sin. The altar is open for you guys to come and pray to. So we're going to do the invitation just a little bit different today. I'm going to invite you guys to stand with us. We're actually going to sing a song together. But if you need to move, move. Don't be put to shame by God working in your life. That's an encouragement. That's awesome. That can be a witness to somebody else that might be going through hard times. So if you need to talk to somebody about believing in Jesus, we have counselors up here. If you need to come and just pray at the altar is open.